This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Ducks Stream, powered by TuneIn.
Couple of items just to tell you about. Ducks fans know you got to have the right players for all three periods. Sometimes you got to switch things up. Same thing goes for your drink on game day. So pour yourself a delicious Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum and Ginger. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you and then drink responsibly. And one other item, didn't get a chance to talk about it earlier, but would you like to be one of four finalists to attend Fan Appreciation Night? That's a chance for everyone to win the all-new 2022 Honda Passport Trail Sport, courtesy of Honda, and see your Anaheim Ducks. Visit AnaheimDucks.com/Honda for details. Good luck and special thanks to Honda. Steve Carroll with Dan Wood in this segment. Have our play of the game coming up shortly. And then Josh Brewster joins us for a wrap, and then he'll have his Duck Calls program. So let us go all the way back to the first period. It was really early on when the Bruins got their first goal, but then, Dan, they added another one before the halfway point of the period.
Yeah, Steve, it was the same line for Boston that produced the first two goals against basically the same Ducks players on the ice. At 3:49, David Pastrnak with a one-time rifle from the top of the right wing faceoff circle. Pastrnak assisted by David Krejci and Pavel Zacha. That made it 1-0 Bruins. And then the same trio hooked up at 9:46 with David Krejci getting the goal. His quick shot in front after a nice centering feed from David Pastrnak. Zacha also with an assist on that one. So before the first period was half over, the Bruins were on top, 2-0.
And then the Ducks had their moment, and there weren't too many moments when offensively they were able to solve Swayman the goaltender, but pretty goal nonetheless by Trevor Zegras.
Yeah, this was a nice play, and Strome and Zegras were on the ice for both Boston goals earlier in the period, but they get a measure of redemption here. Frank Vetrano with a nice cross-ice feed from right wing found Ryan Strome low on the left side, and Strome delivered a quick pass to Zegras for a shot from near the left wing faceoff dot that beat Jeremy Swayman on the short stick side. Zegras' second goal in as many games, his 12th of the season, tying Trevor Zegras with Troy Terry and Adam Henrique for the team lead. Strome and Vetrano got the assists at 16:55. That pulled the Ducks within 2-1, and we headed to the second period with the Ducks in the game.
All righty, play of the game comes up next, scored by one of the star players in the NHL these days, David Pastrnak. Came on a power play in our play of the game brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go Ducks! And here's the goal scored by Pastrnak to get Boston their third tally. Here's a puck put in front of the net for Bergeron. Comes back out, a shot, they score! Well, they didn't miss that one. David Pastrnak puts in a rebound on a Bruin power play with a minute 29 left in the Strome penalty. It's a big goal. We knew it would be a big sequence in this game. The Bruins have increased their lead in the second period, 3-1.
Yeah, and in a 7-1 hockey game, it might sound kind of crazy to talk about turning points, and I guess it couldn't really be considered a turning point since the Bruins already had the lead, but this is where the game really changed, because through more than half of the second period, the Ducks were in the hockey game, trailing just 2-1. And we talked on the pregame show about the Ducks seeking to find rhythm. And in order to do that, you need to stay away from penalties and turnovers. Well, the Ducks had not taken a penalty to give Boston a power play until Ryan Strome was whistled for tripping in the offensive zone midway through the second period. Never a good idea, and the Bruins able to capitalize on their first power play chance of the night. Pastrnak with a rebound from below the left wing faceoff circle. Patrice Bergeron with the lone assist. That made it 3-1 Bruins, but not for long.
Nope. Anytime you get a hat trick, you're doing something special, and Pastrnak would get another one before the second period ended.
Yeah, he got it just 17 seconds after his power play goal, right off the ensuing faceoff. Matt Grzelcyk and David Krejci combining to send Pastrnak in a breakaway And he made a terrific move to beat John Gibson there. Pastrnak, third goal of the game, his 32nd of the season, pulling him within one of Edmonton's Connor McDavid for the league lead. That made it 4-1 Bruins at 12:13 of the second period.
And then, unfortunately, Boston expanded their lead, really put it out of reach. And a three-goal third kind of solidified everything they had worked for from the game start.
Yeah, this made it a terribly one-sided final. Brad Marchand scoring on a wraparound after a Boston 2-on-1 had gone awry at 6:20. Trent Frederick and Charlie Coyle with assists on that goal. And then former Ducks defenseman Hampus Lindholm with an unassisted goal at 11:26. Lindholm with a shot from low on the left wing boards through some traffic in front. Hampus gets his fifth goal of the year to make it 6-1 Boston. And then Charlie Coyle applied the punctuation at 16:10, stuffing the puck past Gibson from low on the left side. It was Coyle's 10th goal of the season. Grzelcyk and Frederick with the assists, and that put the finishing touches on a 7-1 victory by the Boston Bruins as they improved their record to 32-4-4. Yeah, 32-4-4.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I'd take that.
Yep. Jack Daniels, the only good thing that comes from waiting is whiskey, so make it count, and we're going to make it count our post-game coverage. Josh Brewster will join us during the next segment, and Wood, Steve Carroll alongside to review and just gives us and give you our thoughts on what happened today here at Honda Center. Before we go to break, though, our friends at Mercury Insurance have a lot to tell you about. The Mercury Insurance folk and the Anaheim Ducks faithful partnered together to honor individuals that have made huge impacts in their community. Whether it's feeding the homeless, offering a smile when someone needs it the most, or doing one of those many thankless jobs, we want to reward those everyday heroes, those real community champions. Share your nomination by tweeting at Anaheim Ducks with hashtag Mercury Champions to nominate your community champion today. So we'll take a timeout. When we come back, Josh Brewster will join us. So have his Duck Calls program, but we'll shoot the breeze about what happened here over the last 3 hours. The final, Boston 7, Anaheim 1. You're listening to all of it here on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
That's the sound of Desiree getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be getting presents for all five of her sister's kids, and we paid for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with great deals on select certified pre-owned Hondas, like 0.99% APR financing. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services, expires 1/3/23. Length of contract limited.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EAST. T-O-N-S. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com to score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money. So he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested. All for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us. All of us. Visit HeGetsUs.com.
All right. Another message from one of our great sponsors here on Duckstream, and we have quite a few of them, and happy to have everybody. That's our friends at Arrowhead. Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a naturally crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies. Refreshing our everyday moments and now proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100%, Mountain Spring Water. And Dan, there's an event coming up that's always been a big time event to attend.
Absolutely, Steve. Ducks in Tux, presented by Honda, is returning on February 8th this year. The Anaheim Ducks Foundation is putting the players back to work as personal sous chefs alongside the best restaurants that Southern California has to offer. For sponsorship and table information, please visit anaheimducks.com/fundraising.
All right. We're going to give our buddy Josh Brewster just a little bit extra time. He gets all that equipment revved up for Duck Calls, which is coming up after we get through this particular segment. I want to remind you, Edmonton Oilers in town here. Connor McDavid, yeah, Leon Draisaitl, host of others. 7 o'clock is game time on Wednesday. Our pregame coverage on DuckStream begins at 6:30, and then another game before the team leaves on a 6-game, 13-day trip all over. New Jersey Devils surprised some by their success this season to this point, but when you watch the team play, you can understand why they've been so good. They're in town on Friday night, 7 o'clock game time. We're on the air with our half-hour pregame show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn at 6:30. And then we'll be gone for a little while. Later on during the regular season, you might not have noticed this, but the Ducks, besides this 10-game homestand this past week and a half or so, they're going to have another 8-game homestand. So make sure you get your seats in advance for all of that. So I'm Steve Carroll, Dan Wood alongside Josh Brewster, just about ready to go. And we'll get his thoughts on what happened here tonight. And one thing about what happened, you come into a game very rarely in the NHL because there's so many good teams, you never know who's going to win on a given night. I don't care if you're a Stanley Cup champion for 4 years, you just don't know. It's the nature of the beast. But coming in tonight against a team like the Boston Bruins, You have this hesitation, like you know that they are a great hockey club and they're going to be tough to beat. And indeed, they were. Why don't I go with you, Dan, here first of all. Josh working on his equipment at the moment. Your thoughts on what we saw tonight? Kind of expected a good effort from the Bruins the way they've been playing, but they're certainly impressive.
Yeah, they are, Steve. And I know you and I have talked about this all night long. It probably sounds like we're beating a dead horse, but when you consider that the Bruins entered this game with 9 more points than the second-best team in the NHL, that gives you some indication of how good this team is. And I think it makes me hearken back to the meeting between the Ducks and the Bruins in Boston in October, because that one, the Ducks took it to overtime and eventually to the shootout before falling 2-1. And to play the Bruins that tough, especially on the road, that was more impressive than maybe we realized. And tonight the Ducks were in this game for about half of it, until that power play goal by Pastrnak and then another goal from Pastrnak 17 seconds later. That really opened it up in a hurry. And from then on, it was just a matter of trying to get through it with as little damage as possible. And against the Bruins, that's difficult. But this team came to California, beat the Kings, beat the Sharks, beat the Ducks, and certainly pulling off that sweep of the California teams, not the accomplishment that it was a few years ago when all three were among the NHL's elite. But still, for the Bruins, a lengthy road trip, and they pretty much handled it with aplomb. So I'm going to be real curious. We won't see the Bruins again this season, but I'm going to be real curious to watch from afar to see how they play in the second half of the season. I mean, are they going to have a dip at any point? Are they going to lose a couple of games in a row? And then, more important, what happens once the postseason begins? Because there are a lot of good teams in the Eastern Conference, and just because you might finish with the top record, that assures you nothing once the playoffs begin. But certainly the Bruins are a force that will have to be reckoned with.
Josh Brewster, I'm guessing that you agree with a lot of those thoughts.
Yeah, well, for sure. You know, the fact of the matter is there was a brief period of time in this game when we made it 2-1 where we had a moment where we were kind of hanging on. And it, once it was 3-1 and then 4-1, you knew that the Bruins were going to be able to take charge. This is a 200-foot team. What they do in the in their own zone is just as good as what they're doing in the offensive zone. Look, the Kings are pressing the Vegas Golden Knights for the top spot in the Pacific right now, and they beat the Kings pretty good too. It's remarkable. Oh, but I was going to say, they came into 7-1. Okay, they now have a +68 goal differential. Coming into tonight's action, the only clubs that are close, I think Dallas and the Devils maybe are +30. It's overwhelming. So when you look at Hampus's plus minus, that's a team stat. You have a team that is overwhelming the opposition on a nightly basis. And, you look at the Ducks only blocked 9 shots tonight. But I think that has to do a lot to do with how quickly the Bruins act, how crisp their passing is, how quickly they get their shots off, how quickly they get to the net. And they do so many things well. They check off so many boxes. But as Dan said, in a couple of months, Tampa's right there, and there's some other good clubs in the Atlantic, and Carolina's there in the East. But, boy, it's going to take a Herculean effort to beat the Bruins out this year.
And, Steve, if we turn our attention back to the Ducks for a moment, I think fans should understand that what happened tonight really does not change what has been going on of late. The Ducks have played much better hockey recently. They've been winning some games, and to lose to the Boston Bruins is certainly no cause for alarm because of how good Boston is. Now, the Ducks did get blown out in the second half of this game. There's no question, and there's no sugarcoating that. But I'm going to be curious to see how the Ducks respond to this loss with the final two home games on this homestand against Edmonton and New Jersey, and then another difficult stretch on the road. I believe it's 8 out of the ensuing 9 games will be played away from Honda Center. So just as was the case in the first half of the season with the multitude of road games early, it's a big ask. And this team, which has stuck together all year, has maintained a positive mindset. And despite, the losses and the record and everything else, the adversity continues to come. And we'll see how they respond. I think they'll be okay.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I would agree with Dan, and I know this is going to sound crazy after a 7-1 loss. If I was the Ducks, I would flush this one, because I've seen nights where the margin in the loss was not nearly as severe, but we didn't play nearly as well. And I think that, we're just not able. We do not have the skill to execute at their level, but that doesn't mean we didn't get our chances. And, I'm not even that shocked by the shot total of 42 by the Bruins. I thought it was relatively close. It was like 35-28 very late in the game. And I thought the Ducks did all right in terms of pursuing the Bruins. But, they're just overpowered by a club that is heads above right now. And I agree with Dan, is that I would not spend a lot of time thinking about this one if I was the Ducks tomorrow. If I was the Ducks, I'd go bowling, and I would forget about it as quickly as possible. And I'm not one to say forget about these losses, because the Bruins are what they are. And look at their record at home. It's they're off the hook ridiculous.
Got to ask you both one final question. The Edmonton Oilers are coming into town here in a matter of a couple of days. We'll have that broadcast on Duck Stream. You got Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. Is it a different sort of team than maybe what we just saw tonight? Boston is from a team perspective to star players.
No, vastly. I think the Ducks' potential for victory in that game is far greater. I mean, look, I'm not going to take anything away from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, et cetera, but they do not have the depth that the Boston Bruins do. You see guys like Charlie Coyle, Trent Frederick, guys down the lineup, and look, Jake DeBrusk was out injured tonight. They have a lot of depth. I don't think the Oilers do, and I don't think the Oilers have as potent an offense on defense as the Bruins do as well. So, no, I think the Ducks have a good shot of keeping that game close, and I think they have a good shot of a fine showing here at Honda Center.
Yeah, the Oilers have holes. I'm not convinced the Boston Bruins do. Having said that, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl by themselves, they can blow a game open in the bat of an eye. So it is by no means an easy task to face that team. And even in the game in Edmonton, the Oilers had an overwhelming advantage in shots on goal and in offensive opportunities. It was really only the incredible play of rookie goaltender Lukáš Dostal that enabled the Ducks to win that game. So it could go either way. I mean, anytime you're facing McDavid and Draisaitl, you can get blown out. But on the other hand, if the Ducks play their game, play as close to their A game as they possibly can, they will need good goaltending against that team, no question, and then maybe get a little bit of a break here or there. We could see the Ducks have some success against Edmonton.
Okay, Dan, we'll talk to you in a couple of days. Josh, guest tonight, speaking of Edmonton.
Yeah, speaking of Edmonton, Jack Michaels, the voice of the Edmonton Oilers, always a great guest, 714-940-2888 on DuckStream.
All right, guys, why don't we take an agreement right now? Let's forget about this game.
Huh? Flush it.
What game?
All right, flush
what
it.
Game?
I don't remember it. All right, we'll look forward to the next one, though. We're on the air at 6:30 on Wednesday evening from Honda Center. It's the Ducks and Oilers. I want to thank Ben Conroy, our on-site statistician and engineer. He does it all. And, of course, Vic Pence, our main statistician up here in the broadcast booth for every home game at Honda Center. And our buddy Cash Hibbler and that fine staff at Skyview in the state of Arizona. Again, the final, Boston 7, Anaheim 1. All the post-game stuff and Ducks-related material coming up with Josh after this timeout. DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
A chart-topping banger in the best way to bring good vibes to your day. And on TuneIn's Today's Hits, we've always got our finger on the pulse of what's hot in music. Like the latest tracks from Dua Lipa, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny, and so many more. Soundtrack your day with a full selection, Today's Hits. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app that brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
Shoot, score!
Hockey is intense. Sharpie. Looking to lower that heart rate between Ducks games? Check out Calm Radio right here on TuneIn. That's right. The same folks who bring you meditation techniques are now bringing their Zen-friendly instrumental music stations to TuneIn. Stream soothing solo acoustic guitar, beautiful classical arrangements, and more so that you're calm, cool, and collected for the next DuckStream game.
Shoot, score!
Hear it here on TuneIn.
Global news happens fast. Stay plugged into your world with TuneIn, the best app for all things audio. TuneIn brings you top news sources like CNN, Fox News Radio, and MSNBC, plus key financial outlets including Bloomberg and CNBC. The best part? If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll unlock commercial-free news, bringing you more than 5 hours of bonus news content every day, instead of ads. So keep up with the latest headlines and stay in the know every day with TuneIn.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888, 714-940-2888 tonight. Bruins 7, Ducks 1. Well, you got a good glimpse of how far it is to the top of the mountain. On a night like this, the Boston Bruins, I was just talking to Dan and Steve, and you know, the Boston Bruins right now have a goal differential of plus 68. The only clubs that are even close are New Jersey at 30
and Dallas at plus 30. That should give you a pretty good idea of what you're dealing with. You know, I got to say, it's very interesting in this game from the Ducks' perspective, and I don't think I've ever said this on the air in all these years. Flush it. Ducks, flush this one. Go bowling tomorrow. Just flush it. This is a club that is dominating the National Hockey League at the halfway point. Whether they're going to finish that way, I don't know. But you hung in there, and I'll tell you, I was impressed that in the first period, despite the fact that we were stung 2-0, we respond. Trevor Zegras gets his 12th goal. Really nice goal. This is just a night where you just do not have what they have, and it's just as clear as day. Where are you at Honda Center? Give me a call, 714-940-2888. Did you watch it at home? Give me a call. Would love to hear what you have to say, the good, the bad, the ugly. Despite the 7-1 score, and I'm not selling silver linings, I've seen worse efforts in losses. The Ducks tried to keep pace. They couldn't, and, you know, there were just times when, you know, look, there's some defensive zone coverages that did not work out for the Ducks. There's no question about it. They need to look at the videotape. But at the same time, this speaks volumes about the Bruins' ability to generate offense. And they don't just generate offense with the forwards. They generate it with the defense as well, as evidenced by Hampus Lindholm's goal. It's a 200-foot team. There's no question about it. They were just as dominant in their own end as they were in our end. 714-940-2888. Interesting in the first period, just speaking of the first period, for example, all three of the goals were goals that involved activity coming from behind the net. There were other examples of this tonight, like Marchand's wrap, Charlie Coyle stuffing one in to make it 7-1 at the end. Hampus Lindholm takes that hard angle shot. This is a club that was really clicking on all cylinders. There's just no two ways about it. A lot of happy Bruins fans in the house tonight, as you can imagine. I wish we could have shut them up early. I wish we could have gotten the first goal, but we didn't. Only two penalties to kill tonight for the Ducks. Bruins were 1-for-2 on the power play. Ducks were 0-for-2. But it's interesting because, you know, we were not, you know, sticking our sticks out, getting a whole bunch of hooking and interference calls, things of this nature. We did take three penalties, but two of them were tripping penalties. One was unsportsmanlike conduct, and that offset with Brad Marchand, the Comtois Marchand thing. But I thought the Ducks were really trying to keep pace. I don't think that they were too far behind the eight ball. It's just a commanding performance by the Bruins. And David Pastrnak in a contract year. And it's interesting because there's some folks who have speculated maybe he takes a hometown discount. The Bruins are known for that. I got to tell you something. If I'm David Pastrnak's agent, the number starts at $12 million a year, like it or don't. That's all. This is a guy who's setting the world on fire. He's the number one shooter in the National Hockey League, and now he's up to 32 goals after his hat trick tonight. I believe I have Sam on the line. Let's go to the phones, 714-940-2888. Is this Sam? Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Hello?
Try again, Sam. It was nice meeting you on the broadcast tour earlier before the game.
Yeah, Sam, you and a whole bunch of folks got to come up to the press box. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
Well, Sam, I'll tell you what. I got to get your thoughts on the game here. Sam. You're a big Ducks fan. It's a disappointing loss. But why don't you give me your honest opinion of how things went tonight?
I'm going to be honest. The main issue I faced with the Ducks today was that they were struggling to get the puck out of the zone, and it was kept in the zone a lot.
You know what? I would agree with you there, Sam. It was the Bruins are awfully good at holding on to that puck. Their passing game is exceptional, and I agree with you. It would have taken a little more hard work for the Ducks to exit our own zone. The Bruins are pretty dominant, and when they pass like they mean it. They take a lot of one-time shots, And they're awfully good at possessing the puck, Sam, so I would have to agree with you. Where did you sit tonight at Honda Center?
I was sitting 220 in section 224.
Oh, those are really nice seats. Very good. Now, do you get out to Honda Center often, Sam?
Yes.
And tell me again how old you are.
I'm 11.
Excellent. So have you been a Ducks fan your whole life?
Pretty much.
Pretty much? All right. Very good. Yeah, I saw you were decked out in all kinds of Ducks gear. Let me ask you this. Who on the Ducks, who's your favorite Duck? Let's start right there. Who's your favorite Duck?
I'm going to be honest. My favorite Duck is Silverberg. And my second favorite would be
Zegras. Okay, very good. Interesting. Jakob Silverberg is your favorite Duck. What is it about Jakob Silverberg that you like?
I just like that he's number 33.
Number 33. That's a cool number, yeah. He's also he's a good defensive player. He's tough to play against. He knows how to get to the right spots on the ice. And then Trevor Zegras, well, look, if he's your second favorite player, Sam, Trevor Zegras did score one heck of a goal tonight. I thought it was a really nice shot after Frank Vatrano got the pass over to Ryan Strome. And then Zegras, beautiful shot. He likes those shots from around the faceoff circle. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Excellent. Were you hoping to see one of those lacrosse-style Michigan goals from Trevor tonight?
Yeah, I was hoping to see at least one of those, but
yeah,
we didn't get any of those.
You know what I think, Sam? I think everybody in this league now is on the lookout for Trevor Zegras to try one of those Michigan goals. It can't be easy to pull one of those off. You know what I mean?
I've tried to pull it off myself, and it is really hard.
Do you play hockey?
Yes, I play hockey.
Yeah? Are you on a team, or do you just play with your buddies, or what are we talking about here?
I play goaltender for the Junior Ducks.
You are a goaltender for the Junior Ducks? So wait, what level? Would you be a squirt, a peewee, a midget? What? I'm sorry, what is that?
Pee-wee.
All right. Well, I got to tell you something, Sam. I want you to call this show anytime. I love hearing what you have to say about the Ducks, and it was great meeting you tonight. So thank you so much for calling me tonight, and I hope you will make it a habit and call me in the future.
Thank you.
Hey, you're very welcome. Good kid, that's Sam. I tell you, he came up here tonight. It was very nice to meet him and his folks and the whole group of people who got a chance to come up tonight. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4 times this year, Ducks have surrendered 7. 3 times 7, and then 1 time we surrendered 8. Too bad we could not stop the bleeding after it was 2-1. I really thought that the Ducks could at least keep it close. Even at 3-1, we were good. But boy, 4-1, once Pastrnak scored, it was interesting because Pasta scored rapidly. He had the goal at 11:56, and then 17 seconds later, he scored again for the hat trick, and it was one of those things. I don't think the body language on the Ducks sank. I don't think that the Ducks' effort sank. It's just one of those things where, you know, you're kind of getting overpowered. All right, let's go back to the phone, 714-940-2888, right here on Ducks Stream. You're listening to Duck Calls. Let's talk to Arnold. How you doing tonight, Arnold?
Hey, I'm doing well, Josh. How about yourself?
Well, I'll tell you, at 7-1, I've been better. They hung a touchdown on us with an extra point tonight, Arnold.
Yeah, you know, I share the same sentiment, you know. The Bruins, you know, they're just, you know, they got a solid team. You know, Pasta's great. You know, Marchand's a rat. You know, you can't deny Marchand is a rat. You know.
Yes, he is. He's a pest. He's a
I mean, he really is. But, I mean, you know, it was a disappointing game. I just would like, do you ever think that the Ducks could become as good as this Bruins team is?
Absolutely. You just got to be patient. I absolutely think they do. I think you look, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll, as the song says. But, you know, look, we've got some guys coming. You've got, you know, you've got McTavish, you've got Zegras, you've got Terry. And then there's a whole host of players, defensemen like Noah Warren is a big kid who I cannot wait to see here. Tonight, Olin Zellweger, I don't know if you heard this, but there was a huge deal in the in the Western Hockey League in the juniors tonight. Olin Zellweger and a forward named Ryan Hofer go to Kamloops. Olin Zellweger had been playing for Everett, and Everett got like 10 different draft picks and 4 different players for Olin Zellweger and Ryan Hofer. And Zellweger,
wow,
Zellweger played.
Well, I didn't know that. Actually, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Defenseman Olin Zellweger. I have a feeling. I have a feeling that perhaps. Look, I haven't spoken to Pat Verbeek about this, but boy, I'll tell you, I think Olin Zellweger is probably headed to, maybe headed to the AHL next year, and then, you know, we'll go from there. I have a feeling he might be NHL ready quicker than we think. Give me some more of your impressions on the game tonight, Arnold.
I mean, you know, I think I liked a lot what you said. You know, it felt tangible when they put 3 on us to maybe think that we had a glimpse, but you know, after that, it just, I mean, for lack of a better word, it just hopeless. I mean, to me, but you know, either way, this team, I think, is maybe more focused on the draft right now anyways. What do you think about that, Josh?
Well, no, I don't think – I'll tell you what, Arnold, and you know, thank you for calling the show. I appreciate hearing from you. I always do. I don't think this club is focused on – Yeah, I don't think that this club is focused on the draft at all, quite honestly. And goodness knows, none of the players are certainly focused on that. They're focused on winning. I don't think it's a focus at all. And you know, again, the lottery, if the Ducks are a lottery club, it's looking that's the way it's going to be. The balls are going to bounce the way they're going to bounce, and you can't. I don't even spend a moment thinking about this right now. That's not until April when they do that whole thing. You never know how the balls are going to bounce. You know, you remember when Sidney Crosby went to the Penguins and Bobby Ryan came to Anaheim, and who knows how it goes. But not a single player on the Anaheim Ducks, I assure you, is thinking about the upcoming draft or thinking about Wednesday's game against the Edmonton Oilers. And, hey, speaking of the Edmonton Oilers, I'm going to take a commercial break now, and we're going to call my old buddy Jack Michaels, who is the voice of the Edmonton Oilers, and we're going to look ahead to Wednesday night's game against the Edmonton Oilers right here at Honda Center. Be here. Be here to cheer on your Ducks. Ducks are going to bounce back Wednesday night. I'll be right back.
Thank you so much.
That's the sound of Wendy getting up. Random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be providing her groceries during the holidays. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And during Happy Honda Days, we can help you too with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Pilot or Ridgeline. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services. Length of contract limited. Expires 1/3/23.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton and Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. O-N-S. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com to score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. Join us for Women in Sports Night on January 28th. The evening will kick off with a special pregame panel and mentorship event. From networking to speed mentorship rounds, the event serves to provide young professionals with insights into and connections in the sports industry. Reserve your spot now at anaheimducks.com/panel. anaheimducks.com/panel. All right, 714-940-2888. Just trying to get a hold of Jack Michaels here. In the meanwhile, 7-1 tonight, the Bruins over the Anaheim Ducks. I was talking about this earlier. You know, the Boston Bruins tonight, they had blocked 12 shots in the first period, and then they did not block that many more shots the rest of the way. They ended with 21. The Ducks tonight only blocked 9. I could read that a couple ways. There should have been a lot more blocks. That's A. But B, I can also say it's kind of speaks volumes about how the Boston Bruins get their shots off and how good they are in the passing game and how well they execute. So, you know, it's just it's one of those things tonight. I don't know if the numbers are really going to tell us a whole heck of a lot, although I would tell you, believe it or not, they poured on a few shots late in the game, the Bruins did. But, you know, I don't think it wasn't a deluge of shots tonight. I think it could have been a lot worse for the Ducks. Ducks managed 29 shots on their own, and it was just not meant to be. Once Pasta hit those two shots at the 12-13 mark of the second period, it was on. It was going to be all downhill for the Bruins after that. Getting pucks in deep, I think that is one thing the Ducks could have improved on tonight. They were rewarded. Ryan Strom did kick that puck out from behind the red line out to Trevor Zegras after the pass from Frank Vetrano. And that was a moment where I said, okay, it's 2-1, and it's 16:55 of the first. And I really thought that I thought that the Ducks were going to start to get these pucks in deep. But, boy, second periods are tough for us, whether it's in the shot department or the goal department. So this is just, you know, it's tough luck. And I'll tell you what, this is a club that just barnstormed through California. No problem beating the Kings. No problem beating the Sharks. It's just one of those things. Yeah, I thought there were a couple disappointments. Honestly, a couple disappointing points because I can't sugarcoat a 7-1 loss. I mean, we just, you know, it was a rough one. But, you know, the Brad Marchand rap when you've got defensemen trailing coming in way late, you know, Benoit sprawling and Klingberg coming in a little late, that was a little rough. I thought that the Hampus Lindholm hard angle shot was a little tough to take. But, you know, by then things were a little far gone. All right, let's now speak to an old friend of mine, Mr. Jack Michaels. He is the voice of the Edmonton Oilers. We will face the Edmonton Oilers on Wednesday night, and here he is now, Mr. Jack Michaels. How you doing, Jack?
How are you, Josh? Good to hear from you again. Sorry I couldn't make the last go-around, but I have to say my daughter took precedence. And actually, she's in L.A. flying home from Australia, and I'm in L.A. too, but it's not 1985 anymore. I can't just go to the airport and see her, so it's from a distance.
The whole airport experience in the last 20 years has gotten a little rough, if you ask me. All right, Jack, I'll tell you what.
100%. Now, but anyway, I apologize for not making the appearance. I had to savor the 6 days I had with her home from college.
Jack, you're
but,
here.
As you recall, Anaheim got the upset that night in Edmonton at Rogers Place. The same did not happen tonight, unfortunately, for the Ducks.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Jack. I don't even know if you saw the game. I don't really care. It doesn't really matter. But you saw the 7-1 score. Just real quick, let's touch on the Bruins because I want to get into the Oilers. But the Bruins really are dominating now. And I was pointing out.
Well,
now,
you,
they have
you know, I have some insight there, right, Josh?
Go ahead,
please. My
yeah,
broadcast partner has a pretty good glimpse of that Bruins locker room. You know what I can tell you is this. I think they're a refreshed team. I think that, you know, they've got there have been several coaching changes, and Boston's one of them, between where established coaches have gone elsewhere and had success, as Bruce Cassidy, for example, has had success in Vegas. And, you know, then you've got another established guy in Jim Montgomery, who was a very successful coach in Dallas before some off-ice issues got him in trouble. And he's gone into Boston and presented a different approach. And I think he's a little bit more communicative with the players. I think he is a little bit less of a, you know, hard line approach. I think that coaching change might have impacted David Krejci's decision to return to the National Hockey League. Maybe, you know, even Bergeron's decision to play at least one more year. And, you know, as a result, I think you've got Jake DeBrusk with new energy. Taylor Hall, they're a deep team. Nick Foligno is starting to contribute. They've got production up and down the lineup and up and down the age brackets. They've got enough young talent where they're going to be good for a while, and they've got enough veteran talent that you think this is a club that could once again go very deep in the postseason. And, you know, again, I mean, they were in the finals in 2019. So this is a club that's used to winning, used to competing for a Stanley Cup, and I think the coaching change is one of those situations where it might have refreshed the club. And I think you've also seen it in Winnipeg. You know, Rick Bowness, a veteran guy in Dallas, he goes and has success. And meanwhile, you know, in Dallas, that coaching switch has worked as well. Stars are right there, you know, contending for a Central Division championship. So there have been a lot of veteran coaches who've been shuffled around the NHL. And in most cases, with the notable exception of Paul Maurice in Florida, it's worked out.
So, Jack, recently, of course, you saw the Ducks on a good night for the Ducks, beating the Edmonton Oilers 4-3 on December 17th. So why don't we talk a little bit about the game.
Oh, it was a good night for Lucas Dostal.
Yes, it was. Yeah, real good night for Lucas Dostal.
Yeah, that was the guy that night. I mean, I think they were outshot 49-17. So I don't know how great a night it was for the Ducks. Well, Lucas Dostal did a heck of an impression of Vladislav Tretiak that night.
Yes, he did. He did. So let's take a look forward to Wednesday and where the Oilers stand. You know, one thing, let's start in the net. One thing we've all taken note of course, is that Stuart Skinner has really seized the moment. I don't think anyone was expecting that one, Jack.
Well, I mean, you know, he has seized the opportunity. The opportunity was created by the fact that Jack Campbell struggled mightily out of the gates. And so Stuart Skinner stepped into the breach when Edmonton desperately needed something. Because, again, Jack Campbell was one of the more highly sought free agents in the offseason. I mean, they signed into a $25 million deal. They put a huge investment down. And you thought going into the season that you'd probably see something along the lines of a 55-25 split. Well, right now you're on pace for that, except it's reversed. And that's because Skinner has delivered when Edmonton's needed it most. And he's very good even the other night in defeat against Colorado, because Edmonton got outplayed badly 5-on-5 by a desperate Colorado Avalanche club that was trying to snap a 5-game losing streak. And Skinner, you know, 42 saves. I mean, he was one of the reasons that Edmonton, even though they led 2-0, I'm not sure the Oilers get to the finish line and get a point in that game without Stuart Skinner. So he's been very good. And Josh, I think it's quite possible, considering how poorly the Western Conference goaltenders have played this season, I think Skinner's probably going to be the second goalie, don't you? I mean, who else would be a candidate right now in the Pacific Division, you know, other than Logan Thompson of Vegas? I think it almost has to be Stuart Skinner. So, you know, he's 24 years old. He's Edmonton born. He's Edmonton draft developed. And, you know, he's tracking to be a goaltender that the Oilers hopefully can rely upon for the better part of a decade.
Yep, and I realized that recently they extended him, and they're throwing in with him, so they got that going for him. You know who had a couple of assists? I just want to double back to the hometown heroes here for just a moment and talk to you about a player who obviously is well-known across Canada, and especially for what he did in last summer's postponed World Juniors, is Mason McTavish. He has really come on here in Anaheim, Jack, and he, you've seen what he did with Team Canada, but he's starting to come on here, and he's looking like a dark horse. He's catching up a little bit behind Matty Beniers now, and I think things are really starting to look up in terms of confidence and execution for Mason McTavish.
Well, and it's important for Anaheim. Because, you know, I think I was on this show 3 or 4 years ago, and there were a group of guys that Anaheim was counting on heavily. And I think of those guys, you know, that group that, you know, included Max Jones and Maxime Comtois and obviously Troy Terry. And Troy Terry's been the guy who's kind of emerged. At that time, remember, it was Sam Steele. So I think back, Josh, and you probably have the list at the ready. But 3 or 4 years ago, we were talking about a group of five Ducks that you hoped would be, you know, the mail carriers as you transitioned away from the Getzloff, Perry, Kessler era. And of those five guys, only Troy Terry has really, you know, panned out fully. Now, I mean, again, some injuries are at work there. Lack of opportunity, whatever, you know, getting buried on a losing team. But to be honest with you, of those five or six guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, really Troy Terry's the one guy, right? And,
no,
you know, even
no,
this year,
right.
Jamie Drysdale never got out of the blocks because he got hurt. You know, that's
yep.
a guy that, you know, hopefully from Anaheim's standpoint will be a 10 to 15 year defenseman for the club. But that's what's so important about Mason McTavish's development is he gives you a little something on the backside where he could be the next wave of young talent and the at the forerunner of that. And that's why I think it's really important that he has taken a huge step forward, is because not all the young guys that they were counting on, Josh, and I think you'd concur with me on this, have panned out. And that's
right
one
now.
Of the reasons why Anaheim, quite frankly, has been treading water for a couple years, is a lot of those prospects have become suspects. And again, not all of it is their fault. There have been some injuries at play there, you know, and it's tough
yep.
to thrive and prosper on a losing hockey club. But that, you know, the fact that Mason McTavish is coming along, I think is extremely important and gives another bolt of energy into a club that's struggling to find its way.
Well, no, Jack, I would agree with you. And just looking back over the last few years, when you think of between Nick Ritchie and you could even throw Andre Kasha in there with, unfortunately, endless concussion issues. But also, you know, you mentioned Sam Steele. Look, Max Jones is still here, but he has dealt with a lot of injuries. And, you know, now
right.
you have Zegras.
I mean, that's
you have...
guy that 3 or 4 years ago, Josh, we were awfully excited about. And rightfully
yeah.
so. I mean, Jones and Steele gave you glimpses, but you know, at this point, that's all they've been, right?
Well, look, the jury is still out on it. It's really unfortunate what's happened to Max Jones. He missed almost all of last year. He's out right now.
Yep.
I don't know. Now, look, I would have no problem if he became an effective third or fourth line player. I would have no problem with that at all. You can always use that. But you really don't
yep.
know what he is. You don't know what he is yet. And I'll tell the story about Troy Terry that I've told maybe a half dozen times on this show. About three seasons ago, it's funny you mentioned that. So about 3 or 4 seasons ago, Ilya Kovalchuk sits down next to me. He's scratched. He's playing for the Kings, and he's scratched. And he taps me on the shoulder, and he points to the lineup card. He says, "Who's that?" And I said, "That's Troy Terry." He goes, "That's the best player in your organization." And at the time, there were no points to speak of. But he said, "Look at how he plays. That's the best player you have." And so, and he has become, he's really become, you know, a really a budding star in this league, and he will be an all-star. Now let's double back to the Oilers here. You know, there's not much more for me to say about Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. Goodness knows. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been very productive, and Zach Hyman has been a great addition there. Are you concerned, Jack, at all with the Oilers' depth scoring, especially with this very rough injury that Evander Kane suffered, and hopefully you guys will see him at some point in this season?
Well, I think Evander Kane, first of all, he's on the trip. Now, he's not going to play, but he's getting close. Evander Kane's going to be back much sooner than anyone anticipated.
Well, that's
in fact,
good.
I wouldn't be shocked if he's back before the All-Star break. And
that's
considering the horrific nature of that injury, that is, you know, phenomenal news. Because, you know, anytime you see a cut like that, and it was significant. I mean, I've seen it up close. It's not a pretty sight, but he is going to be back fairly soon. But, you know, we were just talking about some of the Anaheim prospects that have yet to bloom or may not bloom. And quite frankly, Edmonton's waiting on a few young guys, too. I mean, they're waiting on Jesse Puljujärvi, Kyler Yamamoto, Ryan McLeod. These are the support players that you're talking about in terms of giving Edmonton consistent secondary scoring. A little bit older than that, but definitely a guy they acquired in a trade for defenseman Ethan Bear that they thought would bring more to the table, Warren Fogle. You know, he was the odd man out the other night, you know, a healthy scratch. And he's been scratched a couple times during his Edmonton career. You know, those are some younger players, you know, in their early to mid-20s that Edmonton needs to give, you know, the top four, you know, a night off every once in a while. I mean, you know, the great thing about McDavid and Draisaitl is they are good for a point, point and a half, 2 points per game. But generally speaking, over the course of a full National Hockey League season, that production starts receding a little bit. And I, you know, sometimes people are, oh, yeah, 75 points at midseason, he's on track for 150. Well, in my experience, Josh, I would say that really means he's on track for 125 because offense becomes harder and harder to find later in the season
you go.
It just ratchets up. The league is so much tougher in game 40 than it is in game 20, in game 60 than it is in game 40, and in game 80 than it is in game 60. That just the ice dries up on you. You don't have any free ice out there. So absolutely the secondary scoring is a concern. And, you know, to this point, no one's really busted out in a big way. I think Fogle has 4 goals. Puljujärvi and Yamamoto might have 3. McLeod has 3. I don't think he has a goal in 22 games. I mean, so absolutely, you know, I think Edmonton, and that's a shared concern across the league. There's a lot of top-heavy lineups out there right now, and the Colorado Avalanche are one of those. They're banged up, and as a result, their depth has taken a hit, and they're relying heavily on guys like McKinnon and McCarr to play 30 minutes a night and produce, and certainly it worked for them last night when Colorado found a way to get it done in overtime with McCarr scoring on a breathtaking rush. But it is a concern. I think looking forward to that Anaheim matchup, Edmonton's got to play L.A. first. That's, you know, a playoff rematch of sorts. And the Kings, as you know, are going very well right now. And they have the kind of balance that a lot of teams around the league envy in a big way. They've got 11 players already with 19 points this year. And 2 of those aren't even in the lineup. So they've got balance up and down the lineup. It'll be a tough matchup for Edmonton and Los Angeles. And I don't think, you know, I know the Ducks got pasted tonight. But because of that, to some degree, I think Anaheim will be a determined group on Wednesday night when they play host to Edmonton. And it won't be a gimme for the Oilers. And I think the Oilers found that out, even though they dominated most of that hockey game. They got goalied by Lucas Dostal. And, you know, even though that's not going to be the goaltender they face on Wednesday night, Anaheim has already proven it can beat Edmonton. So the belief will be in that Ducks locker room. And I think it'll be incumbent upon the Oilers to get off to a quick start. You know, I think literally and figuratively put the Ducks in their place to some degree, because in a matchup where there's a heavy favorite, the longer you allow the underdog to stick around, I think that's going to favor the Ducks, the deeper that game goes. And I said it that night in Edmonton, you know, the longer this goes and the more saves that Dostal piles up, Anaheim's going to have belief in the guy behind him, and the Ducks are going to start thinking they can win this game. And that's exactly what happened. And Anaheim Anaheim stole one. And if Edmonton isn't careful and allows Anaheim to get off to a good start in that game on Wednesday night, the Ducks can do it again.
All right, there he is, Jack Michaels, the voice of the Oilers. Jack, it is always a pleasure to have you on Duck Calls, and I'm looking forward to seeing you here at Honda Center on Wednesday night.
Well, thanks for giving me another shot to be on your show, and only my daughter has a higher priority than you, Josh. I just want you to know
that. Yeah, Jack, listen, let me say something. I've known Jack since, I'm talking 22 years ago. Jack was in the West Coast Hockey League, and boy, Jack, much respect for working and going up and up and up, and you were a great voice then, you're a great voice now, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother, and you have a second career as an agent if you ever need one after your radio hosting duties.
No problem. I'm ready anytime. I'll charge top dollar for your
services,
brother. Jack. Have a good night. All right, there he is, Jack Michaels, Edmonton, voice of the Edmonton Oilers. In my last few minutes here, if you want to hop in, 714-940-2888 here on Duck Calls, Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Let me catch you up on the action from today's games. Jack had mentioned the Winnipeg Jets. Today in Winnipeg, it's the Jets 7, the Canucks 4. And, yeah, the other night, Rick Bonus passed the 2,600-game mark. This is, I think, 2,601 games as an assistant or a head coach in the National Hockey League. And he came in as a player in 1975, drafted by the Atlanta Flames. So Rick Bonus, he keeps rocking and rolling. The Jets are 13 games above 500, and they just got four key players back in the lineup. So they win today. The Stars 5, the Panthers 1 tonight. And that's two goals for Jason Robertson. He's up to 28 on the season. Capitals 1, Blue Jackets nothing. Nick Backstrom and Tom Wilson both return to the lineup for the Capitals. So you can just imagine what this means for the Metro and the wild card race in the East, because Washington was looking every bit as banged up and injured as you could look, and not anymore. They are well on their way to contending again in the playoff race in the East. So 1-0 today, Capitals. And it's Eric Gustafson scores for the Capitals. 4-1, the Penguins over the Coyotes today at Mullet Arena in Arizona. And the Blackhawks 4, the Flames 3 in overtime. It's Max Domi's 12th goal of the year for the Chicago Blackhawks, who are a struggling club this year. And we will see, you know, it's interesting, we will see. I keep hearing about Taves and Kane being traded. I'm starting to get the vibes that maybe Patrick Kane doesn't get traded. I wonder if he plays the rest of the season in Chicago and then signs with the Buffalo Sabres. And if he signs with the Buffalo Sabres in the offseason, regardless whether he gets traded as a rental, they will recoup the $10 or $11 or $12 million a year he's going to make in jersey sales in about 3 days. So I'm wondering if Patrick Kane goes to the homeland. Blues 3, Wild nothing. This is in Minnesota. Brandon Saad scores for the Blues with Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko out of the lineup for the Blues. Guys like Saad have way stepped up for them, and the Blues are really struggling. I don't think they're going to the playoffs, but we'll see how they do with these injuries. Maple Leafs 6, Flyers 2. This is in Philadelphia today. And Austin Matthews hits the 20-goal mark. John Tavares hits the 19-goal mark for the Maple Leafs. And that's it. 7-1 tonight, the Bruins over the Ducks. I never say this. I'll say it again. Flush it. Flush it. It's a dominant club you got beat by today. And the dam broke in the second period. David Pastrnak. It's David Pastrnak in a contract year, folks. You do the math. All right, let's get out of here. I will talk to you Wednesday. I hope you have a good rest of your Sunday night. Hope you had a good time watching the game, even though the result was not what we wanted. And I will talk to you next time on Duck Calls right here on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Have a good night.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes, and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
For Zegras in, shoot, score!
Are you big on sports? What are we talking about? You're a Ducks fan. Of course you are. So keep yourself in the game on all the sports coverage you love with TuneIn's exclusive Believe 24/7 station, bringing you nonstop Believe podcast content in one handy around-the-clock radio station, so you can stream hot takes and game-changing moments curated just for you while you're waiting for the next Ducks stream game. Listen now, right here on TuneIn.
The hottest country tracks from today and yesterday make the journey that much better. That's why TuneIn's Country Roads station should be your soundtrack. Whether you're in the car, at home, or anywhere in between, we're spinning pop and country jams from Zach Bryan, Maren Morris, and Elle King. Plus some classic gems from pop country's golden age. All on TuneIn, all on your devices. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% Mountain Spring Water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% Mountain Spring Water.
The Anaheim Ducks are back on the ice, and this season you can be in the stands to experience it all live.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
Shop a wide variety of seats for every match from Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks in the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Thanks for listening to this exclusive presentation of Anaheim Ducks Time Ducks Hockey. Stay tuned for continued coverage on Ducks Stream.